people who attend Sunday Mass would have noticed yesterday something different, at least if the parish used the rose-colored vestments that are one of the options for the fourth Sunday. So if anyone saw the rose-colored vestments, even if they weren't thinking of anything else, they would say, well, something is different. Something is not the same as our usual pattern. And that's deliberate on the part of the church to set aside that fourth Sunday as a moment of rejoicing. For those who have the opportunity to follow the daily liturgy, not just the Sundays, you can see the fourth Sunday not only as a kind of a highlight in the middle of Lent, but also as a turning point or a change, because from the fourth Sunday onward, we start to read every day from the Gospel according to John. So it's a subtle shift, but if you're following the school of the heart every day, you'll notice that we're getting a deeper, a more intense instruction from John, who has a unique approach to the message of Jesus. Now, when we turn to the Gospel of John for today, we go back near the beginning. This is near Jesus, the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, and this is the miracle he does for the royal official of Capernaum. I'd like to point out something about this, which I think we can apply to our own Lenten journey. The miracle, or as John calls it, the sign, takes place in a hidden way. Something like the first sign. The first sign is the changing of the water into wine. Remember, the people who first drank the wine didn't know that it was water before. The miracle was done in a kind of indirect way, a hidden way. And only after the people who drew the water, or the chief steward, realized what happened, then the word started to spread. Wait a minute, this was all water just a few minutes ago, and now it's the best wine. So it wasn't obvious at first. Same with this. This miracle, this sign that Jesus performs, he heals the boy from a distance. In fact, he never even sees the child. The father doesn't see the healing take place. He puts his faith in the word Jesus said to him, and he starts walking back home. That's the classic description of the journey of faith, to put our trust in the word of God and start walking, even without seeing. And then he discovers the next day that his son had a moment of a turning point, a change, recovery. It was yesterday at 1 p.m. he only finds out the next day. Now, this is striking because so many of Jesus' healing miracles are instant and obvious. Jesus puts his hand on someone and the man is cured. Or the woman reaches out, touches his cloak, and she's cured. It's obvious. It's obvious that Jesus did it, and he did it in this moment in front of these people. Touches their eyes, it puts his hand on them, cleanses them of leprosy, blindness, whatever, drives out demons. It very often happens in a very obvious way. But these first two signs in the Gospel of John are done in an indirect way. And they require a step of faith without seeing, without knowing how God is really going to fulfill his promise. And this is very important for us, to be able to walk in faith without seeing instant results. Let me make a more modern application of this. On Friday, the whole church, led by Pope Francis, participated in the act of consecration of Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. A very powerful spiritual event, a spiritual earthquake, it's been called. A very striking spiritual weapon to usher in the reign of God. Now, for people who are asking, well, what happened? Or why is the war still going on? If you're in Ukraine, you would say, well, nothing's any different now. We're still being invaded. Look back to the consecration that St. John Paul II made back in 1984. And all the commentaries, at least the Catholic commentaries, say that consecration in 1984, which fulfilled the desire of Our Lady of Fatima, led to the collapse of the Soviet Union, which didn't happen until 1989. That's 5 years. So it wasn't an instant, obvious effect. But now people looking back 20, 30 years say, well, look at what happened. The consecration led to the collapse of the Soviet Union. It didn't look that obvious in 1984 or 1985 or 1986. So the journey of faith is not obvious. But we can put our trust in the word of the Lord. We can put our trust in the spiritual weapons that the Lord has given us. The consecration last Friday was a very powerful weapon, no doubt about it. It doesn't mean that we will see immediate results. Maybe we will. It's up to God. But whether we do or don't doesn't make that much difference. We have to follow the Lord. Follow the Lord every day. That's the journey of faith. It's like this father journeying back to the house, confident that what Jesus said would come true, one way or another. Your son will live? Okay, he will live. Okay, so this is our journey. Now we can apply this, or we can reflect on this in light of the experience of the prodigal son, who was at the center of our reflections yesterday. We had that great parable of the father of the two sons. The prodigal comes back home. He receives a joyful, warm welcome by the father, and he moves back into the house. It doesn't mean, and that's great, and that's really a cause of celebration. There was a big party, kill the fatted calf, put on your best clothes, and everything. But it doesn't mean that every single day you're going to eat from the fatted calf and wear the best clothes. Once we're living in the house of the Father, well, we work with the Father to do what the Father does, what the Father wants us to do, whether we can see it as a cause of celebration or not. No doubt that younger son, at some point or another, said, oh, it's not all parties and being kissed by the Father. It's also work. It's also getting up in the morning and fulfilling your responsibilities. No doubt it's like that, because that's the way it is. And that's part of the journey of faith. I had several masses yesterday in the parish, so I kept hearing this song, which is rather popular. How does it go? It's time for us to make our dreams come true. A guiding voice will tell us what to do. If we must, the path to happiness is wide. If we must change our ways, call on God as our guide. Well, maybe it's a popular song, and I don't want to be too critical of music, because some of it has to do with personal tastes. But the theology of that song is really quite weak. It's not time for us to make our dreams come true. It's time for us to put our trust in the Lord. He has a dream that is much greater than any of our dreams. You want to know what it is, read today's first reading. I am about to create new heaven and a new earth. The things of the past shall not be remembered or come to mind. Instead, there shall always be rejoicing and happiness in what I create. That's the Lord's dream. It's far beyond what our dreams are. So we're not on a path to make our dreams come true. And it's not a wide path. Jesus says it's a narrow path. If we must change our ways, no. We must change our ways. No if about it. That's the whole purpose of Lent. Change your ways. Repent. Come back to the house of the Father. So I mention this because if we take the wrong attitude toward how God fulfills his plan, we'll fall into the danger of slipping from younger son to older son. See, the younger son is happy, yes, And we're always happy when God is merciful to us. We're always happy when we see signs, when we see him fulfill his promises. But when we don't see him doing anything, or when it seems that he's not being faithful, the war is going on, we have work to do, we're sick, our loved ones are suffering, or whatever it is, then we have the danger of taking on the attitude of the older son, which is, the father is not doing for me what he should do. He's not being fair. He's not even being good. He doesn't even give me a kid goat to celebrate with my friends. That's the complaint of the older son. And that's the danger if we don't live in faith and journey in faith. Once we start turning away from our focus on the dream of God, on the plan of God, and we start trying to make our dreams come true, the whole thing collapses. We start complaining that God is not making our dreams come true. So, no. Let's take the lesson from this royal official who puts his faith in the word that Jesus spoke and starts his journey. So we put our trust in the word of God. He speaks to us every day in the scriptures and the liturgy. Let us not put our trust in our dreams or in our expectations or what we think God should be doing. We put our trust in God. And whether we see what he's doing or not, we continue the journey in faith.